This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org.
The following sermon was preached on Monday, March 20th, 2023, The Solemnity of St. Joseph, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be a child of the Holy Ghost. Her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to send her away quietly. As he considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It is interesting the way the Church has looked at St. Joseph throughout history. St. Joseph was not added to the canon of the Mass. He was added to the canon of Mass when I was alive, just before I was alive. Many of us in here were alive when it would happen. You think, well, if he's that important, how come it took so long? It was always perceived as somewhat of a given that Joseph had a very special place, although he wasn't mentioned in the canon of the Mass. But when you look back at the way the Church, there's other things that went on in the Church that has always communicated to us just how glorious and how important the intercession of St. Joseph is to us. He might not have been a canon of the Mass, but for instance, in the breviary, or the Roman breviary, traditionally, when you do the matins for St. Joseph, the first nocturne, the first three lessons that you have for St. Joseph, they're taken from the commons of a confessor bishop. Joseph wasn't a bishop. Well, if you know the definition of what that word means, a bishop is an overseer. A bishop is an overseer, and St. Joseph was an overseer of his family, as all fathers are, but his family just happened to have as a member God. That is a pretty important task, to be the overseer of God Almighty himself. So the breviary, that's where we get the readings, the first three readings, are from this comment of confessor bishops. In the first reading that is given in the old Mass is from the book of the confessor abbots. An abbot is a religious, you could call him a religious bishop. Abbots have a clerical authority. The Christian dictionary speaks of abbot by definition. He is a father that has a monastic family, and as such, he has far-reaching powers in the government of his house. He's recognized as an ordinary, just like our bishop. Stephen Lopes is our bishop, but his function is as an ordinary in the ordinariate. He is a major superior, as would be an abbot. So St. Joseph is looked on as a bishop, as an abbot, very, very important and very, very powerful in far as the sway that they have. But when we look at him and you step back, that's great. The universal patron of the Church, I mean, that was when they put him in the canon. He is the universal patron of the entire Church on the face of this planet. Not this rite, not that rite, the universal patron of the Church. This is St. Joseph. And it's really easy to see because we don't know a whole lot about him from Scripture. Very, very little do we know about St. Joseph. But the very, very little that we do know, it really screams volumes as to why we pay so much attention to him. Why would we pay so much attention to him, or why should we think that his intercession bears a lot of sway with Jesus? There's really one line in the Scriptures that speak of that. And that's when our Lord is missing in the temple in Jerusalem and they go back and find him. And then there's the discourse and they returned home. And Jesus was subject to them. The Blessed Mother and St. Joseph. That one line, and Jesus was subject to them. It really defies logic to think that the Lord of glory in his earthly ministry, when he took on flesh and dwelt among us to give us an example of how to live life, if during that time the God-man himself submitted himself to Saint Joseph, how can you think for one moment that now that everybody's in heaven, that our Lord, Joseph's just like everybody else? I think not. And where do we get that? We get that from Scripture. We should understand it. If our Lord Jesus Christ submitted himself to Saint Joseph, that Saint Joseph's intercession has a tremendous amount of sway continually. Okay, this is why St. Joseph was added to the canon, made universal, patron of the universal church, because of what the scriptures do teach us about. Do you really need to know any more about a man than that? That the Lord of glory was subject to him? Other little things, just a few words that really, that God Almighty himself identifies St. Joseph as a just man, a righteous man, an honest man, a man who is upright. You know, it's pretty good when God says that about you. This is why we pay so much attention, or should pay so much attention, to St. Joseph. I'll be the first to admit, the St. Joseph thing is relatively new to me. I never disrespected him, or I never thought he was any less or anything. I was one of the saints, okay? It's been like the past 4 or 5 years when I've been paying attention to things like that to really, really open your eyes to how much sway his intercession has. Why the church has, the Holy Spirit has said through the church that he is the universe, the patron of the universal church. This is why we look at him like that. A quote from a commentator. To be convinced how much the intercession of Saint Joseph prevails with Jesus Christ, we have only to consider those words of Scripture, he was subject to him. That should say it all right there. I mean, the church has always throughout her history paid so much attention to St. Joseph, it was assuredly to be progressive to where he would ultimately be added to the canon just to fill in a blank that may have been left there from the beginning. But that's how the Mass is. We add things for the benefit of the faithful. We take things away for the benefit of the faithful. But the faithful have always appealed to and venerated and asked St. Joseph's intercession. St. Teresa of Avila, one of my favorites. She says, I do not know how anyone can think of the Queen of Angels at the time when she labored so much in the infancy and childhood of Jesus and not return thanks to Joseph for the assistance which he rendered both to the mother and to the son. She's St. Teresa of Avila, doctor of the church. She means what she says. And it's very simple to understand. She's a very simple woman. That's why she's a doctor of the church. People got a lot of degrees and everything usually kind of lose it. They go off on trails and things like that. No, not her. She was very, very specific. She was very, very guided in what she understood about things. And this is a no-brainer. St. Teresa of Avila is a saint of common sense. There are several of them. I like them. Saints of common sense. You know, they don't have a bunch of degrees. They're not this. They're not that. They just have common sense. It's common sense to look at Joseph the way we do and to venerate him as the church does. This is because St. Joseph, well, shouldn't we know more about him from Scripture? No, because that's another aspect of life. What are we called to be? Salt in this world, right? Salt. I'm not the chef, but I do eat, okay? When you use salt, you use it very, very sparingly. Use it very sparingly. You know, if you can see the salt on your food, probably a little bit much. You don't want to see it. It's there. It makes things taste a whole lot better, but you don't see it. St. Joseph, the same thing. He never brought any attention on himself because nothing was ever about him. You know, the way he treated the Blessed Mother, the way he treated our Lord Jesus Christ, even the limited way we know of him, even when he struggled with things like, how can she be pregnant? He knew the Blessed Mother was virtuous. He knew her sanctity. So he didn't think for one moment that she had sinned, but he didn't understand. I guess just to keep this on the down low, I'm just going to kind of back off from this. You know, I'll just break the marriage, the betrothal contract, and we'll just go about our business because I don't understand. And an angel appears to him. Fear not to take her, because that which is conceived is hers of the Holy Ghost. St. Joseph's on the down low. Even when that happened, he didn't want to make a big deal out of it. He was on the down low. This is St. Joseph. What we do with it is not unscriptural. Well, a lot of the stuff you said is kind of implicit. Well, there's other things that are explicit in Scripture, and they apply to this situation. They come from the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs says this, "A faithful man shall be much praised, and he that is the keeper of his master shall be glorified." That's the Old Testament. That's the book of Proverbs from the Old Testament, an ancient writing, way before, centuries before St. Joseph was born. And that last part of the verse, "He that is the keeper of his master shall be glorified." What did that mean when that was written? What person keeps their master? What does that mean? Sounds very churchy. Well, after St. Joseph came and our Lord subjected him to St. Joseph, when he subjected himself to St. Joseph, this came to the fore. St. Joseph was his master's keeper for 30 years. We need to appreciate that, and the church does, by making him the patron of the universal church. But we should work our veneration in turn by venerating him as much as he deserves. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.